On Tuesday mornings, we go live to the nation's capital and Pulitzer Prize winning reporter David Fahrenthold of the Washington Post, who posted on Twitter photos of itemized bills with red circles around some of the numbers. It's captivating, at least if you know what he's talking about. So let's ask him about it. This is how you made your name, by writing down numbers on legal pads and circling them, and then calling up people to get them explained in the context of Donald Trump's nonprofit foundations. And now you're at it again. So just explain to us what you're working on here.
We're trying to figure out how much money Trump got. Trump used the U.S. government to pay to his own businesses. While he was president, he was funneling money from the government to his own pocket and basically doing it in secret. And so now we're slowly getting the evidence that shows how he did it, when he did it, and how much.
How is he doing it? He's in a fishbowl. How can a president funnel money to himself when there's so many people watching?
Well, the way he would do it is he would go to his own properties, there's a whole bunch of people who have to go with him, mostly Secret Service agents, but also Defense Department attaches, State Department folks. And then when those people came to his properties, because they had to stay right near the president, he would charge the government above market rates for their rooms. So the thing that I was posting yesterday was a receipt from Mar-a-Lago over Christmas. And while Trump is at Mar-a-Lago putting out these messages about trying to overturn the election, he's still charging the Secret Service for rooms next to him. So I think he made $15,000 from the taxpayers over 8 days in December of 2020.
Okay, but you also post some of the other lodgings, the other accommodations, where the numbers were higher. Was that more days or what? I thought it was the same week.
So the rates at Mar-a-Lago in the beginning were about $650 a night. Toward the end of his term, it was about $396 a night. That was still much more than the government was normally allowed to pay for hotel rooms in that area. But we have found receipts going back to the beginning of his presidency from all different government agencies totaling about $2.5 million that he used the government to pay to himself, most of it in secret. People didn't know about almost any of it until we started digging.
Okay, I think that, well, I can't be sure, but I'm guessing there's some listeners who look at it and say, okay, $2.5 million, that's chump change in the context of the federal government, and even in the context of Trump's reported wealth. So are you saying he really was that desperate for money that, you know, he would need $2.5 million over 4 years?
I can't speak to his motivations. I wish I knew. What we know is that even though as much money as he says he has, this is what he did. He used the government to pay himself money. And at the same time, his son, Eric, was telling the public a totally different story, saying, well, we give these rooms away basically for free, maybe $50 a night. That's what they told the public. And then behind the scenes, they were doing something very different that put some money in their own pockets.
Yeah. Well, it's not against the law to lie, as we know. And the emoluments thing, the courts turned that down, right? So what?
Well, the emoluments question basically never got to the Constitution says that the U.S. president can't take extra payments from the U.S. government beyond his salary and can't take payments from foreign governments. Trump did both, but people sued him over it. But basically, the courts couldn't figure out who, if anybody, has the right to bring that suit. And so the suits ended when Trump left office without even resolving that question.
But what I'm getting at is isn't this – I mean, I am amazed at your diligence – but is there's not going to be a legal payoff, right? I mean, you might expose that he was enriching himself, but he probably was doing it in an illegal way, or at least in a way that nobody is anxious to challenge.
Yeah, I'm not really doing this in the hopes that Donald Trump will be prosecuted or forced to refund the money or anything like that. I just think people ought to know because it's, you know, there's a lot of questions left about the way that he used the presidency to enrich himself. And as long as he's still contemplating a return to the presidency, I feel like people should know the full picture.
So if he announces, I will no longer seek, nor will I accept your nomination to be president, you would just drop your investigation.
I think we'd keep doing it, but people would probably read it less.
Yeah, that's probably true. The other thing going on is the way that he raised money, which actually has some of his own supporters feeling betrayed. I know it's a New York Times. Are you allowed to comment on New York Times stories?
Yes.
But I guess I was a little surprised by that, because how do they think they're going to get away with that, putting in these pre-checked boxes that signed people up for weekly contributions when they thought it was a one-time contribution?
Yes, that was a great story. And as you said, people that you know were signed up to donate $500 to the Trump campaign had these boxes pre-checked in the email or on the website. And if you didn't look closely and uncheck the boxes, your $500 donation today became a $500 weekly donation every week. And so the Times talked to people who basically were bankrupted by this. They didn't realize this had happened. They couldn't find a way to turn it off. And, you know, their bank accounts got drained by Donald Trump. To me, it reminded me of Trump University. Trump's instinct in these cases has been, if you like him and want to be like him and he can get you to start paying him, he will take you for all that you're worth. Even if you end up embittered, angry, mad, wanting to sue him, you know, he still got your money. And I think that was the way the Trump campaign operated, certainly. They refunded the money after the election, but it meant that he basically got a giant interest-free loan from his supporters at a time when he was pretty short on cash.
Yeah. Now, as a member of the media, and by the way, you just gave the Neiman lecture online, which you can look up to hear David Farenthold's reporting secrets. But just a question that keeps coming up repeatedly in emails that listeners send me, and that is, the media is just gone soft on Joe Biden. Nobody's investigating him. Nobody's investigating his son Hunter and his laptop. Nobody is pressing him hard enough on how he convinced Major League Baseball to move the All-Star game out of Georgia, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Is that true?
No, I am not writing about Joe Biden, but that's not my job. A lot of my colleagues are writing about Joe Biden all the time. People should read those stories. We'd like more people to read those stories. I think that Biden is a different president, and there are not the same kinds of conflicts of interest and questions that Trump had. Biden isn't running a business. He's not using the government to pay himself. He's not spending his time in his own businesses. But there are a lot of other questions about the border, about how he's administering the stimulus payments, where we have been pressing him and will continue to. He's a different president than Trump, but we're going to cover him as aggressively as we did Trump.
What about creeping socialism, sending out regular monthly payments to people just because they have children? And apparently that's going to be perpetual.
Well, I think we've covered that quite a bit. The question of whether it's creeping socialism, I don't know. Under Trump, we gave large and recurring payments to farmers. I guess it just depends on who you think is deserving of payments and who you think payments are socialism. But we've certainly covered that quite a bit too.
Yeah, the farmers. You can't accuse farmers of being socialists. Does Biden have secret meetings with Bernie Sanders or anything that you've uncovered nothing at all?
Well, I'm not trying to uncover things about Biden because it's not my job, at least not yet. But, I mean, if there are secrets about Joe Biden, rest assured that we are trying to get them. And, you know, it's not like there are amazing scandals happening every day that we're ignoring. We would really like to have more people reading the Washington Post now than there are.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I can respect that. And could you do me a favor and push to get that job so we can talk more about it?
Well, I'm going to have to leave this
to be Joe Biden's watchdog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Trump beat, I think, is going to end eventually. So, yes, I'm looking for another job, and maybe that can be it.
David, thank you. We'll talk next
thank
week.
You.
David Farenthold, live from The Washington Post. It is 8:24.